Stay tuned after the show for a message from Morgan Stanley.
Good Wednesday morning. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Political Playbook audio briefing.
And I'm Anna Palmer. We've been making the case here for the past few days that this would be a rocky September, filled with stomach-wrenching twists and turns over COVID relief and government funding, with an election lurking around the corner. But there's an alternate theory floating around some quarters of the White House and Capitol, which we feel deserves some exploration. What if this month is completely boring and utterly predictable? In other words, what if Congress passes a short-term government funding bill before September 30th, fails to get a COVID relief bill, and goes home at the end of the month until after the election?
It's not too hard to imagine. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer suggested the Senate Republican COVID bill was toast before it was even released. Democrats say Republicans don't understand the magnitude of the problem and are relying on a small bill when a big one is needed. Republicans say Democrats can't take yes for an answer and are rejecting the policies they support in hopes of Republicans going big after months of saying they have no interest in going big.
Senate Republicans can barely get 51 votes for their own policies, so the GOP leadership has little room to maneuver or negotiate. Democrats have dug their heels in for months and seem extraordinarily unlikely to strike a deal without some major concessions from Republicans on state and local aid and school money. Election money is a Dem priority. Here's Senator John Thune, the number two Senate Republican, on that. I think that you know there's a lot of election money out there. We've put a lot out already.
The White House doesn't mind blaming Congress. Donald Trump doesn't cut legislative deals, he just talks about them. He has no relationship with Pelosi and no capital to cut a deal with her. Steven Mnuchin gave up the farm when he and Pelosi suggested a shutdown was off the table. Both sides seem to be taking delight in blaming each other, and they remain trillions apart with no talk scheduled. If a shutdown is off the table and there's been literally no movement in months, what should make us think anything will change? Many in the Capitol and White House think they'll just wait another 6 weeks until the election is over and figure it out then. September 15th is shaping up to be quite the day. Bob Woodward's book is scheduled to come out. The UAE-Israel event is at the White House. And Apple announced a new event that could unveil a new iPhone.
The Wall Street Journal editorial board could certainly catch the president's eye this morning. They write that if Trump is going to stage a comeback, he will need to make the race about policy differences and not about character. We've got a medical talker coming out of the New England Journal of Medicine with this headline. Facial masking for COVID-19. Potential for virulation as we wait a vaccine. And some not so good news, AP is reporting that AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine study has been put on pause after an illness. And just in time, NIH Director Francis Collins and Surgeon General Jerome Adams will be in front of Senate Help at 10 a.m. to testify in a hearing entitled Vaccines, Saving Lives, Ensuring Confidence, and Protecting Public Health.
Driving today for Democrats, Joe Biden will be in Warren, Michigan today, and he'll talk about the Biden-Harris plan to fight for workers by delivering on Buy America and Make It in America. Hill denizens will remember Make It in America from Steny Hoyer, who has used the phrase for what seems to be a century. Kamala Harris has a virtual fundraiser. Ben Ginsburg, the top GOP election lawyer, has the top ed today. In the Washington Post, he writes, Republicans have insufficient evidence to call elections rigged or fraudulent. The Justice Department is seeking to defend Trump in a defamation case by advice columnist Jean Carroll, who claims Trump raped her 2 decades ago.
The Post notes that taxpayers could be on the hook for any potential damages if the U.S. government is allowed to stand in for Trump. Though they write, winning damages against the government, though, would be more unlikely than in a suit against Trump, as the notion of sovereign immunity gives the government and its employees broad protection from lawsuits. And the New York Times has the lead of the day with this one. President Trump, who has vowed to exit the Paris Agreement on climate change, loosen restrictions on toxic air pollution, rolled back clean water protections, and removed climate change from a list of national security threats, stood in front of supporters in Jupiter, Florida on Tuesday and declared himself a great environmentalist.
Almost none of this will happen, but it's worth a read anyway. Ben Sasse in the Wall Street Journal with this headline, Make the Senate Great Again. To restore the world's greatest deliberative body, we'll need to think big. Anna spoke with Aaron Hill, the executive director of Act Blue, the Democratic fundraising juggernaut, in the latest Women Rule podcast. They discussed everything from how Biden is faring in fundraising to Republicans' effort to build out a digital money operation. You can listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tina Gwen was in Jupiter, Florida yesterday with the president, where she reported on Trump's ever-expanding claims of Biden's destructive potential. And the Post has a look at how Trump and Biden's campaigns are one of contrasts. Trump has raucous crowds, while Biden's is socially distanced gatherings. Stephen Shepard has the latest Politico election forecast this morning with the top line that Trump is running out of time to turn around his 2020 campaign. Scott Bland and Elena Schneider report on Trump's lost summer and how he focused on Fox News and not battleground states.
Mark Caputo in Miami reports on how Trump's gains in the area are rattling Democrats. Here's what's on tap for Trump's Wednesday. The president will receive his intel briefing at noon in the Oval Office, and Kayleigh McEnany will brief at noon. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.
Morgan Stanley is committed to giving back and to fostering meaningful dialogue among people and communities. See how Morgan Stanley, through demonstrating its core values, is giving back to the communities where we live and work at morganstanley.com.